head of Western Cape Health on. He was talking about explosions of COVID taking place in the Garden Route, Wilderness, George, Knysna area. And today, he also said that there are worrying signs in the Cape Metropole. And today we're here to talk about how challenging that scenario has turned. So, Keith, always a pleasure. I know you're busy, and I know especially with all of this happening, you have to be in many meetings. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Keno, and thank you to the listeners.
Now, where are we numbers-wise? I'm not going to go and read the latest overall stats and all the rest of it. I want you to tell us, if you can, where are we since our last discussion on COVID-19 in the Western Cape? I saw on that same afternoon I did an interview with you, the Premier was in a bit of a huff, and he, told people that this is very serious, et cetera, et cetera. I know there was a press conference yesterday. So share with us the latest.
Thank you, Keno. So where we are in total, we have just crossed 126,000 cases in total so far in the Western Cape. The worrying thing is that we currently have 7,240 active cases. Now, in September, we dropped the active cases to below 4,000.
Wow.
We have 7,200 active cases. And as I showed you the last time, what we're watching for is this. The new cases in the last 7 days compared to the previous 7 days. So the scary stats for the last 7 days is that we got 5,322 cases in the last 7 days compared to 2,600 the preceding 7 days. So there's a 50% increase in the last 7 days.
Gee.
If you break that down, Garden Route, I recorded you the last time, in Garden Route, we have 2,045 new cases in the last 7 days against 990 the previous 7 days.
Yo.
And then the worrying one then is the metro, because we have 2,300 active new cases in the last 7 days compared to 1,200. And that's everywhere in the metro. Garden Route, we pinpointed it to Knysna, George, spilling over into Plettenberg Bay, the Bito area, and now to Mossel Bay. I can tell you now, George and Knysna have had the highest daily totals of COVID cases ever since the start of the COVID. So they've exceeded the numbers they've seen at the height in the first wave. And that's for the last 2 days consecutive.
Yeah.
In the metro, our increase is everywhere. But as you rightfully would know, and I did tell you the last time, we had that outbreak in the southern suburbs with young people driven in October. That did come under control towards the end of October, but since the beginning of November, we have a steady increase of cases in the southern suburbs, to the City Bowl, up into areas like Atlantis, including areas like Pinelands and all of those. In the southern suburbs, south, areas like Grassy Park, going to Lotus River, explosion of cases in those areas. So what we're seeing, Keno, is the people that previously would have been under lockdown in early May, and comparing ourselves now to where we found ourselves in early May.
Yeah.
But the difference was many people were in level 3, level 4, and people were actually under lockdown and really being mindful of their movements. All of those people are moving around, congregating in places, and so we're now seeing explosion in cases of people previously which would have been under restricted movement at the time. The areas that we are concerned, and you would know that we've always been concerned in the first round, like Khayelitsha, like Lugaletu, in Mitchell's Plain, are also starting to show worrying signs of increases, although still a little bit lower than the southern suburbs and up the west, up the Atlantic seaboard.
Yo. What about places like Dunoon?
Well, Dunoon is also showing an increase. You know that Dunoon in the first round.
Yes.
Had quite a lot of cases. So that's the thing that we have to consider. So there would still be people that had some kind of immunity and antibodies there from the first round. So there are increases in the moon, but it's not as high as in places like the surrounding areas, which I would say the built-up areas, up the Atlantic seaboard. Yeah.
All right. So the Premier is going to be having a meeting a bit later in terms of the measures that need to be taken. But, a lot of this, I would imagine, also emanates from the Eastern Cape and people going cross-border. Or would I be inaccurate?
No, you're all right. What you're saying is there's lots of movement. And I think that's the big issue. is people have been moving around. There's lots of crowds moving around, so moving from one area to the other, and then lots of congregation. So people congregate. So the movement would have been from the Eastern Cape. We've got a lot of cases in the metro where people are giving us cases individually that they've been to the Eastern Cape and they came back. They came back with infections. We also have in Gardens with quite a few cases. But I must hasten to stress that a lot of the movement is actually internally in the Western Cape. And then also movement from other parts of the country. So so the movement in general, I mean, I would be very concerned of anybody moving into Garden Route now from anywhere else in the Western Cape, or people from Garden Route moving into other parts of the Western Cape.
Yeah, but we're still, I mean, we're marketing Knysna, we're marketing as a place that's open. You know, I don't know how responsible that is. But Keith, I just have a quick question from Chris. Chris is in Pinelands. Chris, Dr. Kluter can hear you. Go for it.
Hello, Keith.
Hi, Chris.
You know who I am. I was just wondering, you know, because I hear stories from my friends and that who are all going to flock to the Garden Route, Plett and Knysna in particular, for Christmas, and I couldn't think of a worse idea.
That's absolutely so true.
Chris.
So true. Chris, thanks for that. Keith?
Yeah, so as I say, I mean, I think somebody asked me a question this morning as well, Kino. My advice would be what I would give to my family. So the question is, would I advise my family to go and spend Christmas in New Year in Garden Route? With what I see now, you will have to be very, very circumspect about saying, go and do that. So I guess that is what the Premier will be considering, Kino. We will be advising the Premier, and tomorrow afternoon we will be looking at these things. But one of the advice, Chris is absolutely right, is being circumspect about our movement, what we put ourselves at risk to, and who do we put ourselves at risk to. So I think the big thing is we need to create a bubble. We need to be very treasuring our bubbles and be very, very circumspect about who we come into contact with. I've got such heartbreaking stories of health workers that have actually gone through the first wave, protected themselves, protected their families, and now in the second wave are being exposed by acquaintances that then infects them. You know, so we cannot let our guard down one moment, and we really have to go back to reconsidering that. You know, just the one big thing that probably is what I put to the cabinet and really got the Premier and the cabinet worried.
Yeah,
and that is the increased number of hospitalizations. Because I always think people had this sense that COVID, you know, will be a little bit of a flu. You know, people recover. These figures. The numbers of increases in hospitals has been astronomical in the last 10 days.
Wow!
I can tell you that from the beginning of November till the where we are now in Garden Route. All the private hospitals is at full capacity.
Wow.
They are turning to the public sector to say, whoa, guys, we can't cope with the numbers of people that has to be admitted. The public sector hospitals in George and Knysna is at full capacity and straining, and we are bringing some additional capacity online. In the metro, there's been a twofold increase in admissions in the last 3 weeks. And places like Grootskie, Mitchells Plain Hospital, Tigerberg, Somerset, and then Brackengate. Remember, we have Brackengate. Brackengate went from less than 10 patients in about September. They're over 110 overnight.
Yeah.
So we are looking at massive numbers of people actually becoming ill. And our reported death rate that has come down so sharply is now starting to incline.
What is it in the Western Cape at the moment? Because I know in the Eastern Cape, I'm not sure if it was related to one particular institution or one hospital, but they said around 50% of the people who are sent to ICU and who are needing to be treated at that level don't make it. So what do our numbers look like?
I can tell you, Kino, we were running at about daily reported death rates very close to the low, in the low below 10, you know, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We were running at between 4 and 7 a day. I see it every day. I can tell you 3 days ago we had 10 deaths for the whole province. 2 days ago, it was 15 deaths. Yesterday, we recorded 26 deaths.
Yes.
So I could just tell you, I mean, it's obviously significantly lower than elsewhere, and we're watching, and we're expecting those numbers now to start going up because the numbers in hospital are going up so radically. But we obviously have high-flow oxygen. We give people the best treatment that they can. So our mortality rate is not as radical as what you just reported from Israel. Yeah.
Now, can we also ask our politicians not to be so blinking politically correct about how they do the implementation? So, you know, the malls, the last time we spoke about the malls, we're like, yeah, no, yes, they do their own thing. They, you know, you walk into a mall, Keith, and I can think of, I try my best not to go to many of them, but when I have gone, what I've seen, people wearing their noses out of their masks, people sitting there on a cell phone having a conversation with the mask off because they apparently believe that people, we need to be a little bit harder on businesses and on people who need to do proper access control and invigilate what is happening in their spaces.
Yeah, so, you know, last Friday, I raised this, you know, obviously I see the data every day, so I raised the alarm last Friday to all, to the Premier, the Cabinet, and all my senior colleagues. Last Friday, my colleague in economic development, Solly Fury, had a big meeting with all the retail stores owners and all the mall owners, management companies, and he had law enforcement, he had everybody, the disaster center, everybody part of that call, and Dr. Regan from the health department to advise. We were instrumental in the first round to advise the malls how to put proper systems in place. We're very much aware that those things have slipped in terms of the behaviors. Yeah. And the idea was to actually have a meeting with them around Black Friday.
Yes.
The issue was to say, what are they putting in place? And I, in the middle of this meeting, I know Solly sent me a WhatsApp because he received my email in the middle of the meeting about the alarming figures. And he did then make that case that there cannot be, there has to be zero tolerance of going back to full compliance with what we need to do. So what the Premier said yesterday, and that is what the deployment will be, is that our disaster management center has always been on alert and have been coordinating, but there is now a heightened call to clamp down in law enforcement, liquor authority, all the authorities we possibly can convene on institutions and establishments that are behaving recklessly in the name of making money. So we have to actually clamp down and show force over the next coming week, coming days and weeks. Yep. But then with Black Friday in mind, there has to be a clamp down specifically on behavior around individual retail shops, but then holding management, the mall management companies accountable for putting systems in place.
Absolutely.
And actually blacklisting individual stores if they're not compliant. So we are intending to be harder. The Premier said, The whole idea of putting that alert out yesterday is that we have to bring everything to bear in terms of behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I got a couple of messages that have been sent in. And just here, one says that indoor dining and bars drove COVID-19 rates overseas. Another message says, thank you to Dr. Kluter and the Premier for the great work. And then seem to think that the mask is just there as an accessory when they're eating, because even when they're not being served food, the masks are often in restaurants. So that's the one thing, right? So those type of institutions, you've touched on it. You're saying we need to be harder there, right? But I don't know who's going to police this, Keith.
Yeah. So I must say, I've been with this since the start. And you always learn new things. And, you know, the reproductive numbers, so the comment of the listener about what's happened internationally. So when we have a reproduction rate, which means for every case we have, how many other cases are we making infected? So when you start approximating 2 or 3, that's when you're exponentially growing your transmission. If your reproduction rate, which means for every one case, we're infecting less than one case, that's what we've had in terms of decline.
Okay.
Now, there's two things that the scientists point out to us now. The one is the laxness of wearing the mask, the distancing. That makes it easier for the virus to transmit. That's what's happened internationally and in the bars and all of that. The second thing is we've lifted the restriction of movement of people.
Yes.
And coupled with summer, it is congregating and movement and travel. Now, if we take the two together, that's the cocktail that's landed us where we are now. That's why we have to be very, very strong on crowding and movement and all of that. And then while you're in it, on the actual individual behavior for breaking the transmission. You know, people say it's uncomfortable to wear a mask. Ugh, it's recovery. you know, I will think of my own individual comforts and don't be a nanny and all of that nonsense. Yep. That kind of behavior has slid us to where we are. Now, the point here now is we need a nudge. So we need very strong messaging. So our messaging is going to come out quite strong from yesterday onwards and obviously today and going into this. We are really going to message that people need to look at personal behavior and collective behavior of avoiding crowding and all of those. But the individual behavior is still going to be the trick.
Yep.
We have to have citizens like you and me have to feel empowered enough
yep.
to say that actually we require somebody else to act in our best yep. interest. That means we have to confront. We're going to have to confront people and become comfortable with confronting behavior. And then we have to reinforce that with law enforcement. Mm. Now, law enforcement has to, all the resources we have, we're going to have to bring to bear. Now, what we have, you know, we can't go to every single street, every single pub, every single restaurant. But we have to then use the data that we've done so well in this
yep.
time, is to pinpoint areas where we say, right, we're going to crowd that specific area because that's the biggest transmission.
Mm.
So we're going to have to be selective, target, and go into areas.
Now, what you should also potentially do is get a system where the public can help yes. report immediately yes. through WhatsApp,
yes.
which place they're at, who's not enforcing it. That goes through to, I don't know, central WhatsApp number, and you
yeah.
can then deploy staff to monitor this effectively.
Absolutely, Kino, and that will be made available in the next day or two. It's going to come from the disaster center. The city has a 107 number.
Yeah.
It's a variation of the 107 number. It's set up specifically for that purpose. So that will be made public in the next day or two.
Should we be closing our beaches for December?
I must say I'm extremely concerned about individual behavior. What we've done here is to relax the restriction on the movement, but on a social compact with the public. To say that the one requirement is that relaxation means we can all behave responsibly. I've been disappointed by the citizens of the Western Cape in terms of how they behave.
Keith, I'm going to give you an opportunity to wrap for a minute or two just off the news. I think it's important for us to get this message across. But we're wrapping with the head of health in the Western Cape, Dr. Keith Kluter, talking about the worrying numbers that he is seeing. But Keith, before we wrap, I want to play one or two voice notes. So let's okay. take a listen to Morgan.
Hi, Kino. I am feeling a little bit frustrated with the Cape Talk reporting of the COVID numbers at the moment. It is this massive focus on infections, but give us the stats on deaths. So if there have been 7,000 infections in the last 7 days, how many deaths have there been? Because to report just the infections without giving the context of the deaths, I think, is fear-mongering, and it's irresponsible because more people are being tested. People who are asymptomatic are being tested. So this thing is not, oh my goodness, 7,000 people have perished in the last week. 7,000 people, or whatever the figures are, have been infected. It's different, and we need to remove the fear-mongering from the journalism, please. Give us the stats around death, because we're still sitting with an almost 100% survival rate. Please, Kino, context.
Now, you see, I hear this from a lot of people, and my response, Keith, is normally, I don't give a flying beep about the percentage of the death rate, even if that death rate were 2%. That is someone who can succumb to COVID-19. And a lot of people throw these things out and going, ah, you know, it's only 2% of people who get killed. But that's someone else's grandfather. That's someone else's grandmother. That might be a father of a family. So I don't know what your take is on it.
I can do just two answers to that, Kino.
Yep.
So when I say the last 7 days, we've had 5,300 infections compared to 2,600 in the 7 days before. I can tell you that our hospitalization, and that is as of yesterday afternoon, has shot over 1,000 people that's in hospital.
Gee.
That I can tell you a week ago was less than 600. So that is the hospitalizations. And remember, you have to be in hospital if you're very ill. I can tell you that the deaths that has been hovering below 10 has been 10 3 days ago, 15 2 days ago, yesterday, 26 deaths. This morning so far, already 11 deaths reported. Yeah. So I think the issue is that the context is COVID is real. When we have escalation in cases, it follows that we will have increase in hospitalizations.
Yeah.
It follows that we will have increase in deaths. That is against the backdrop of people still behaving irresponsibly in terms of alcohol and stabbing and assaulting everyone that is already in our full hospitals.
Mm.
And against the backdrop of us having to reintroduce other life-saving things into hospitals, which is people that need surgery for other things that we've delayed over the last 6 months. So whoever that caller is, I can tell her this is not fear-mongering. This is the reality that affects the whole of society, affects every single one of us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith. And it's the brigade. It's the same brigade that stands up and says, you know, and then when they eventually get into a lockdown, like I said earlier, they then tell us about the poor because all of a sudden they realize they're poor people in South Africa. But anyway, I'd rather stick to what Dr. Keith Klutter and the National Health Department and the WHO tells us about what we need to do on the ground. Sorry, Keith.
And I have to really, you know, I've been very level-headed, measured in what I do, but when I get very passionate about one thing, I am the head of a health department that has wonderful people that work in a healthcare system that bust their gut every day to serve people of this province. And they've come through a horrendous time, keeping everybody safe, treating everybody. And now on the eve of Christmas, when they thought they were going to have a rest, the same tsunami is coming to those people. My heart goes out to the healthcare workers that has to pick up the pieces for the irresponsible behavior of people in our province. That, for me, is the most heartbreaking thing to oversee as a head of a department.
Absolutely. And I will say to those people who downplay COVID, they should go to hell. That's my personal comment to you. And you can phone in and take me on about that. I couldn't give two flying thingamaboppers. But we are chatting to the head of health. Could we, if we don't arrest this by December, by the beginning of January, and we see these numbers increase, which I hope doesn't happen, could we potentially go into another lockdown, do you think?
Kino, we must always think that at the back of all of this, the international experience has been multiple lockdowns. Because as I've just said to you, if it's not coupled with responsible behavior on behalf of the citizens, what other tools would there be left? Because if it goes uncontrolled and it just spirals out of control and the entire healthcare system basically gets incapacitated by the ability to cope with what comes in, there will be very little measures left. It would be a sad day for our country, a sad day for our province, if that has to be, because that would be the death knell of the economy as we know it.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Keith Klutter, I want to thank you very much for your work that you're doing and for your leadership. It's been phenomenal, and it continues to be. Dr. Keith Klutter there, head of the Western Cape Health Department.